It's so hard to get
it's out like of the new vocal trend thing.
Yeah. Hey guys.
Hey. Welcome to our podcast.
Don't put that
in. Talking Intern.
You probably will.
It's recording, by the way.
Oh.
The Talking Intern Podcast. Conversations from the bottom of the totem pole. Presented by Crema.
Welcome back to the Talking Intern Podcast. I'm Joe, the multimedia intern, and today I am alone. Julie, Jenna, Jocelyn are all out with the Burgaloo flu, so I'm soloing this one. However, we have a tradition here. We got to have three people on the podcast, so I am joined by two very special guests. Why don't we start to my left? Go ahead and introduce yourself and what you do here.
I'm Larissa, and I am the content specialist, so I edit most of the YouTube videos, and when the Option 5 podcast is in session, I'm editing that podcast as well.
And I'm Mary. I'm a digital product designer here, so I work on client projects, and I also work on our marketing team at Crema.
Excellent. So first off, thank you guys for joining me today, but there is a special reason we picked you two for this episode. Both of you guys used to be interns here at Crema.
Oh, yes.
And if I'm correct, you guys were interns at the same time?
Yeah. Yes, we were in the same class.
So today we're going to be talking about how you guys were able to navigate that internship and transition into a full-time job. I think that's something most interns are interested in, and most interns are kind of heading towards. So just very briefly, Mary, go ahead and give me a little bit of your background and how you found Crema.
Sure. I went to K-State and was studying graphic design and also working towards a degree in business, and really knew I wanted to be in Kansas City. So that's kind of the place that I started looking, was just Googling design internship Kansas City.
Complicated.
Yeah, pretty hard. And of course it comes up with, you know, the 35 options that are around.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really want to narrow my search too much. I didn't have digital design in mind at all. My school is pretty traditional print, and so I felt way more comfortable in that kind of setting. So anyway, I came across Crema and didn't really know what it was, didn't really know what digital design meant, didn't know what product design was, had taken one class, was completely underqualified for this internship, but I knew it would challenge me the most. So I kind of set my sights there.
Cool. And then what about you, Larissa?
Okay, mine is kind of a weird story. So I was going to college half-time, and I was working at a pool hall, and I was actually going to college taking a computer networking, like network engineer course at the community college, and I just kind of realized, like, summer was coming up and it's really slow if you work at a pool hall during the summer. So I was like, I need to find an internship, and I was gonna go for computer related internship, but I, like, sometime during that time I was like, I don't want to do computer stuff. Like, what makes me happy is making video and just being super creative and like a more, I really like to create things out of video and you know, be a video person. So I started looking for related internships, and I found the Crema internship. And when I read it, I was like, this is like tech and video and multimedia. And I was like, this is perfect. I have to apply. And I did.
Yeah. So then both of you got the internship. Congratulations.
Thanks.
You got the internship. What did you expect out of the internship before you started?
Like I said, I knew that this was going to be the most challenging experience of all of the ones that I had to choose from. And so I expected to just learn a ton.
Mm-hmm.
I'd taken, like, I mean, I already said, I took one class and really didn't know what I was getting into at all, but knew that that was the farthest from my skill sets as a designer. So that's kind of the biggest expectation I came in with, was just knowing that I wasn't gonna know anything, and I was gonna learn a ton. I also really was interested in the business side of it. A lot of design internships can be kind of a siloed, here, go work on this one thing, or you just kind of get stuck in one little design bubble. And so I knew that by being at Crema, I would probably get to interact with a lot of different roles, a lot of different projects, and see kind of the business side of things, see how things are run here and how we interact with our clients. And so I was really excited about that kind of holistic education.
Yeah, it's cool you bring that up, because Jenna and Julie have both brought up kind of getting into more the business aspect of it, and the, you know, kind of how school didn't prepare them for that, I guess, but also just kind of the possibilities of it. Larissa, what about you? What were you expecting?
Well, I knew from my initial phone interview with George that there wasn't really a set person doing multimedia stuff, so I kind of knew that I would be not only creating the process but also learning at the same time, because this would be the very first time I would be creating multimedia for a company and for like a purpose other than my own interests and hobbies. So I kind of just knew that it would be sort of a clean slate and that I'd be able to be really, really creative just from what I could tell about Crema's culture from the videos they did have and the website. So I was really excited to be able to like plan that out in my head and then come in. And I, of course, had to learn a lot about the company because I was completely new to like the idea of product teams and different things. But I just knew that it would be something that I got to make, got to be part of the process of making.
Have either of you guys had an internship before this one?
I hadn't. I've had many design jobs, but nothing as kind of immersive.
That's interesting.
I had an apprenticeship, sort of like a remote apprenticeship from this website that does 90-day remote apprenticeships, but no, I had never had an internship either.
That's interesting. Yeah, I've had two before this one.
Oh, wow.
And this one is definitely much different than any internship I've had before. You know, the big part would be, as an intern, you're often given busy work, and kind of sometimes you're looking for work when they don't have it for you. But, you know, being brought on as the only video person, like you were, Larissa, that's got to be way different than any intern experience, really.
Yes. I mean, I hadn't had any previous internships, obviously, but it... Yeah, I mean, it was really, really different because I didn't really have like a set of guidelines that I had to follow, like rules or anything. It was more like, here's our language and here's kind of our, like, I kind of took the language and the personality of previous YouTube videos that we had done and just what I knew from being around everybody in the company, and kind of had to like make something of that and just continue that legacy kind of on from where the previous person had stopped. But yeah, it was interesting. It was very interesting.
Yeah. So you go through the internship all summer long. What do you think out of the internship you learned that you weren't expecting? Or just any surprises in general?
Surprise. I don't know if this is a surprise, but something that was really, I really admired about the experience was how much freedom they gave me. I had kind of two design mentors throughout the summer who I kind of reported to, and they constantly asked me, what do you want to be learning right now? Are you learning everything you want to out of this internship? And they let me explore animation, they let me explore illustration, things that don't really pertain to digital product design. And that was really special to me. I also got to learn some new design tools that if I were the person who is kind of guiding me through that, it would have taken them so much less time to actually build the thing that he was teaching me how to build. So I don't know if that makes sense, but like he was so generous with his time by teaching me that program. And so I felt like the employees at Crema really believed in me and, kind of gave me freedom to just go learn and go try and go fail a little bit too. So I don't know if that's a surprise, but I was really like pleasantly surprised by that.
And it was serendipitous.
Yeah, it was just, I really admired that part of the internship experience.
How would you compare kind of your education experience through school and then through Crema? Are there different advantages to both? Yeah. Did you learn more one place than the other? Or
school was very formal. Uh-huh. I am still kind of, I've just been full-time at Crema for about a month. Mm-hmm. And so I'm still kind of catching these things that I learned in school that are different being at a full-time position. One specifically is in school, you've got this final project due mm-hmm. in maybe 2 months.
Yeah.
So you're not really showing people your work in progress. You have critiques with your teachers and can get feedback, but it's kind of your own personal little baby that you're holding on to and growing and nurturing. And then at the end of that 2 months, you go set it out into the world. And something I'm learning now is at Crema, you're constantly iterating, you're constantly changing, you're constantly asking for feedback, mm-hmm. Challenging your ideas, making sure that it's the right solution instead of just kind of getting stuck with one idea and just racing after it all alone. So I feel like it's much more effective way to design. Your end product is a lot more proven. It's a much more proven result, a much more proven solution. So I don't know. It's been really different. Obviously, I didn't learn a lot of digital product design in school, and some things just can't be taught in that kind of classroom environment.
Yeah.
So being here, doing it, practicing it, every day as an intern was, oh my gosh, I learned so much more in that 2.5-3 months than I did in probably all 4 years of school.
Was there any learning curve to getting that dynamic of like constant feedback, constant collaboration versus when you were used to kind of nurturing your own design?
I had to move a lot faster.
Yeah,
I think that was the biggest thing as a designer. You can get kind of like, I'm not showing anybody this until it's perfect.
Yep.
And I wonder if you guys feel that too as videographers, but I kind of would keep things to myself. So I had to move faster. I had to solve things quicker and get ready to show it and get ready to talk about it and defend my ideas instead of doing that kind of retroactively. So yeah, just fast.
Yeah, I think not underrated, but unexpected part of an internship is kind of the independence mm-hmm. of there's not going to be, it's not going to be very detailed feedback maybe, but you're going to get feedback and collaborate and you're going to have to defend your ideas. It's not like you just turn it in and then you mm-hmm. get a grade and you go, oh, well, next time. It's always growing, always shifting, always moving.
Yeah. And you have to know the purpose and the value of what you're making.
Yeah.
You can't just make it.
Yeah.
Because you want to.
Right. Larissa, did you have any surprises from your internship?
Yes. So like on the first day, George had me record a podcast and like I...
On the first day?
On the very first day, yeah. Okay. We used to have like a podcast that was about products, digital products basically. And I didn't know anything, like I just got there. So I didn't really know anything about digital products, but I went ahead and just made this podcast episode and so that was shocking to me because I just wasn't prepared to have something to do on that first day. And another thing that surprised me was before coming in, I kind of knew that I would be like the new person that's, you know, filming people and right. probably be uncomfortable for them.
Yeah.
So I was expecting to have to like kind of just get over the fact that some people might not be comfortable being filmed. And like, I don't know who has been filmed, who hasn't. And of course, we had a bunch of new people being hired on during the summer. So I was meeting new people constantly. But I was surprised at how many people wanted to be a part of video and like would come to me that weren't even like, I didn't have to mm-hmm. go out and look for people. They were like, oh, I have, you know, this idea or that idea. Or they were so open to being mm-hmm. in the video. Even brand new people who just got there were like, oh yeah, I'll be in a video. And they're still making video today. And I was just so pleasantly surprised at how involved everybody was. And I would get feedback from like people who weren't even, who I never really talked to. And so that was really cool too. Just to be able to be comfortable with directing people that I didn't know because they were so willing to be directed.
Yeah.
So that was super pleasantly surprising.
Definitely. That's been a surprise for me already in this internship was I had a shoot where I had to take 23 Crema employees and shoot them all on the same day. And it was just...
With a camera.
Yeah, with a camera. Sorry. With film 23 employees here at Crema. And it was... It was a pleasant surprise that they all said yes and were eager to work it out. And like, I mean, the only people who said no, it wasn't because they weren't comfortable on camera or something. It was because they had, you know, meetings that day or stuff they had to actually work on.
Yeah, I expected to be doing more of the grunt work around exactly. here. And you get to kind of shine a little bit and people want to support you, which is really cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always said in a very confusing metaphor that Crema expects you to shoot your shot all the time. Mm-hmm. And even if you miss, they want you to keep shooting. And that's kind of a nice environment to have. So you're not too worried about messing up.
Oh my gosh.
Because if you mess up the first time, it's okay because Crema still expects you to come back the second time.
And you know what not to do now.
Like, yeah,
you know
exactly. how not to shoot. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. And another thing that I thought was really surprising or that I loved was the one-on-ones that we have with our mentors. So like George was mine, and even though he's the founder, like he still found time to meet with me and we would talk about what's going well, what's not going well. And it was just like, I looked forward to it because I just got to like blab about all the cool things that I was excited about. And like, and it wasn't even just about work. Like it could be about really anything, but I mean, obviously it was mostly focused on work, but it was just really cool because I didn't expect to be able to have that kind of contact with a mentor. Like I just figured everyone would be really, really busy.
Yep.
But yeah, it was still, that was really cool.
So you guys finished up the internship. How were you approached with the full-time offer?
I'll go first because mine was different than yours, Mary.
Yeah.
So it was during a one-on-one, and it was okay. So like as a video person, I needed to, like, I was getting kind of like, you have to know, like, am I going to be working? Cause there would be projects that would be proposed for the time, and it would take longer than I was supposed to be there.
Yep.
So I kind of got the feeling, cause like George and, you know, other leaders would be talking about future videos they want to do. And so I kind of got the feeling that I would be offered a full-time position, but I was approached in a one-on-one by George, and he was basically like, he just offered me the position. He was like, we really like the videos that you've been doing, and we have a lot of ideas for future videos. And he was like, how would you like to be like full time? And I was like, yes. But yeah, that's pretty much how I was approached.
Now, had you mentioned, had they asked you any time before that if you were interested in full time or?
In a one-on-one even prior to that, like a couple weeks before the one where I knew I would be, it would be time to like talk about it. I had been asked, like, do you have any plans for after? It was kind of like a conversation, like, do you have any plans for after this? Or like, what are you going to be doing and stuff like that? So it wasn't, it was kind of like a, it wasn't like they were trying to hide it necessarily, but it was just like kind of a, and not even a hint either. It was just kind of like, we both kind of knew what the subject was and why I was being asked that question. So if that kind of answers your question, I don't know.
No, no, that does. Before we transition to Mary, when they did offer it to you, were you looking anywhere else? Did you have any other consideration, or were you just like, yep,
in? I didn't really have a plan, honestly. And I know that's not, like, you shouldn't do that if you're an intern. Like, I feel like you should always, like, be looking. I feel like I kind of was really confident in myself, but at the same time, I would have just gone back to working at the pool hall and maybe exploring other internships maybe the next summer, or because I wasn't really confident that there would be a full-time position right away for me at a different company after this internship. So but I felt really good about my skills that I had acquired in the internship, so I knew that even if I did not get offered the full-time position, that I would still be, I still have the skills and the experience to be confident enough to look for a full-time position somewhere else, or another internship somewhere else.
Yeah. My experience was a little bit different. It was a slightly less straightforward, but it was a really good transition. So probably a month before I ended the internship, I was approached by George, Dan, and Matt about, they basically asked me to stay on full time. I had one more year of school because I had a fifth year of college. And so they kind of asked me to stay on full time, but obviously I had a year of school in between. So almost as a retainer, they offered a part-time job for me. So I said absolutely yes. I didn't even have to think about it 1 minute.
Like,
No, nothing. No,
I
was so excited. And it was nice too, because it wasn't like you're signing a contract right now and we're gonna start you like the first day after you graduate. It was, we want to keep you on. We want to keep like building your skill sets. We want to keep working with you and then see where we're at maybe over winter break or so. And I totally understood that too. So anyway, I started working part-time over the school year, and it was a great experience. I really, I got that kind of remote employee feel. So I totally resonate with those who work from other cities. And the team is so great about just connecting with you when you're not here too. I just love that. So anyway, I got that experience and then talked with Tyler about April or so about taking on a full-time job. And there wasn't really enough work here at the time for another designer to be hired full-time, which makes so much sense. Understand the agency life. And so I actually did start looking at other positions, started applying to other jobs. And then finally got the call that there was a job here. So really, really cool. Yeah. And when I look back, like the transition was so great from internship to part-time, taking on a little bit more responsibility. And then I even upped my hours second semester and took on even more responsibility. And then it just felt so right to come here full-time and to be here in person. And so, yeah, I had no doubt about it. It was great. And it almost having that little like falter in assuredness that I would be here was kind of good for me because it made me really, really check and make sure that I wanted to be here. It made me apply for other jobs and realize that that was not for me. That Crema is my favorite place ever. So it was good.
So when you talk about the transition from intern to part-time to full-time, what are there any big differences for you between that internship and now being full-time?
Oh yeah, definitely. I think full-time I'm able to explore things deeper. Obviously like 28 hours versus 42
it's rough.
Is really, I remember 28 was frustrating. Like
I'm feeling that right now.
Yeah, it's
with
frustrating.
These videos, I'm like, we could get so much more done if I was here 12 more hours.
And like, even knowing that there's an end to it, you're like, I started a product when I was an intern and I got about maybe like 25% of the place that I wanted to be at the end of the summer because it's just, you can't look too far ahead, which is unfortunate. So then moving into part-time, it was kind of, it was interesting because in the internship, a little bit of the time that you spend there is self-development. It's not all working for Crema, being a profit to Crema, being an asset for Crema, which is great about the internship.
Yeah.
But then when you move into part-time or into full-time, you, your time is benefiting Crema. So that was kind of a cool transition, gets me in a new mindset. I love being able to work while I was in school. I think that kind of helped me learn how to balance a lot at the same time. And honestly, working full-time feels like so much less than when I was working 20 hours a week part-time and also in school 20 hours and also, you know, trying to find other jobs and all that stuff. So it was a great transition.
Yeah. What about for you, Larissa? You look at your position now full-time versus when you just started out as an intern. I'm gonna go ahead and assume you have a lot more responsibilities now.
Oh yeah. So as an intern, like obviously I was making videos. We didn't really have like a podcast like Option 5 like we do now. But so we were making videos, but it wasn't really planned out. It was more so like, hey George, like we need a video this week. Let's grab Tyler and film something. And like we would literally figure out the topic like 2 seconds before we started filming. But now, and now that we have a growth team, back in January, Gabby joined and we changed from like the marketing team to like the growth team, which is similar basically, but now there's so much more of us and we're more aligned. And now I actually have like a plan. Like we have a content strategy now around the videos and the podcast, and I have a backlog, which is like I never had a backlog when I was an intern because there just wasn't enough time. And then again, like Mary said, whenever you're an intern, you know, like subconsciously, like there is technically an end date to the internship, so you're not able to think ahead. And so it was so great to be able to like be okay, I'm full-time now, I can think like big, like like in a couple months, like where do I want to be, because I know I'm going to be here. And it's like you have infinite amount of time to do things. I mean, you're still wanting to get things done in a specific amount of time, but it's not like you, it's not like you're being rushed, I guess. And then, of course, now I'm still learning. Like, we're always learning and improving upon our skills. But now it's also that paired with trying to achieve some sort of metric or goal a little bit more so than it was in the internship. We are still achieving goals, but now it's like
with a purpose,
with a like a stronger purpose, and we want to generate leads and like do all these things. And yeah, I mean, it's totally different, but I definitely agree having the time is a big relief almost.
I also love that you can kind of take ownership over more of the company's like marketing. Like, I'm also on the growth team, and I have kind of taken ownership a little bit of our website. And that's been really fun, because as an intern, you can see things that you'd love to change or grow or move if you had the time or the kind of ability. But then Crema kind of moved both of us into a position where we are able to take ownership over kind of our little segment of expertise, I guess.
Yeah.
And that's just been really fun.
Yeah, that's really awesome.
Yeah, so if you look back at that summer, is there anything in particular you think you did or learned to help you stand out and maybe give Crema confidence to give you that full-time position? Big question.
Yeah. I just think it was doing... I think it was improving so much, like being willing to learn new things and being willing to accept critique from other people on the team, not even just like my mentors, but like being able to say like, oh yeah, like thank you so much for your look from the outside, and thanks for like relaying that to me instead of just keeping it to yourself. Like, now I take that and I learn from it. And I think just being willing to learn and grow and just keep accepting critique and constructive criticism was like a big thing, because it's very important obviously to be able to do those things. But yeah, just that, and then just being so open to like different ideas and being so involved in content creation and excited about it.
Yeah, I think that putting myself in a position to learn was a really big thing. Just challenging myself and always trying to just learn new tools, learn new processes, learn new concepts. I really try to like get in those rooms where meetings are happening and learn a lot about the strategy side of things, because as a designer, you're going to have skills, you're going to have tools that you know how to use, and then you're going to have kind of your own perspective. But that's teachable, and I don't know, it was, I think just I could make an illustration or something, but I really wanted to learn like the thinking behind design and the business behind design. And so putting myself in those rooms, asking some hard questions and trying to challenge myself to really understand like the thought process behind good design. I don't know if that set me apart, but I'm just always willing to learn. If somebody gives me a task, I probably don't know how to do it, but I'll figure out how to do it. I'll get there. So I think that was really probably a good place to start, is just being eager to learn, eager to accomplish, eager to do. I was so unqualified, like literally I think about it, I was so unqualified for this internship. I really was. And I'm just really glad that everybody here gave me a chance and saw that I was eager to learn and eager to grow, and I don't know, just let me try.
Yeah, I definitely think that like taking the initiative to do things you're not asked to do. Like, I think, you know, any intern can just do what they're told and like get it done, but like it takes a special kind of, like it stands out when you actually go the extra mile when you're not asked to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's something we both did really well during the internship.
Even just taking interest in things that are outside of your expertise. Like, I came in and I knew how to make an illustration, you know, and I would be comfortable just staying there. I would be confident staying there, but going out and trying to get involved in strategy or product or, you know, all dev, you know, all these different things, I think that makes a little bit of a difference. People see that you're interested in what else is going on around you, not just your little world.
Right. Yeah.
So we talk about the importance of being willing to learn, being willing to get critiques, and growing. How do you guys push yourselves to keep growing and keep pushing that limit? Is it just a natural ambition or curiosity, or is there something you consciously tell yourself?
That's a really good question. That is a good question.
This was not on the outline.
Yeah, it's okay. I think it growing and learning aligns so well with Crema's core belief that we should be humbly confident. And so I think if you have that in you as an employee, if they, and I know that the people hiring see that in you, and you, like, they see that humble confidence when they're hiring. And so I think that's kind of an innate thing, is always trying to grow and learn, and you're humble and you're positioning yourself to just keep growing and learning. Like, I never think that my stuff is good enough. Mm-hmm. And not in a negative way, in a way where I know that I can just keep improving and keep asking for feedback and keep asking for help, and it'll just get better. So I think that's kind of an innate thing that that George and Dan hire by. Mm-hmm. It's just humble confidence, and then that just comes along with, you're going to keep growing and learning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And for coming from like a videographer standpoint, like, you can never have, yeah, I'm always like refining my workflow, and that's like a big thing. Like, whenever I first started, it took me forever to do a video, you know, and then I got keyboard shortcuts and all these different mm-hmm. things. But there comes a time when like you can get faster, but it starts to impact the quality of video. So I think it's definitely like, we do many different types of videos here. So mm-hmm. there's always going to be something I can improve in, because I don't always get to do every single type of video we have. But also, like, just trying to find the balance between speed and quality and just different things like that. I mean, doing this like multimedia stuff is, there's so many things like mm-hmm. audio, lighting, like all the things. But I totally agree with you. I mean, growing as a person, and it's so ingrained in the culture of Crema. Yeah. It's impossible not to learn more when you're here, because I mean, we have one-on-ones and we talk about what we'd like to yeah. do, and it's just cool to like look back and see progress. And everyone's so good at pointing that out, like mm-hmm. oh my gosh, like whatever, last year you did this and now I look at you, like, you're so good. It's just, it's like a total thing. I love it.
I also think the people around you encourage you to get better and to keep growing. Like, I get to see incredible designers at work right next to me.
Yeah.
And so I get to watch them, and I'm just inspired to keep growing and mm-hmm. keep learning. So I think we're just in a great little environment of hard workers, and it just pushes me a lot.
That's why I'm so excited that you're here, Joe, because honestly, like, being the only one, like, it's cool to have somebody to compare and contrast to. And like, I'm, even though you're an intern, that doesn't really, I mean, I'm still learning from you as well, because mm-hmm. I mean, you've been to college for this.
Yeah, we definitely have very different styles.
Yeah,
I think in my first one-on-one, I was like, it's super cool that you put me and Larissa together, because when I think of Larissa's work, she's so far ahead in like lifestyle YouTube mm-hmm. type genre videos.
Yeah, and you're into narrative.
My like, background yeah. is very formal, very like, Larissa, where's the lighting plot and all this stuff?
Yeah, I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. Just put a light down and see how it looks.
I'm like, no, we got to set up for 5 hours before
that's
we
hilarious.
Shoot.
Yeah.
And so it's cool to see kind of like, I mean, now with the other projects we both have going on, kind of we can take it like a two-headed monster mm-hmm. and yeah. accomplish a lot more. But you brought up humble confidence, which is something I like to ask everybody here, because we had a moment in episode 2 where, you know, if George asks everybody, I think in every interview, or at least talks about it with the interns, humble confidence. Mm. And I asked them, where do you think your humble confidence comes from? And so we like to ask that to every guest, because we had a real trouble trying to figure out exactly, you know, what that means to us. And it was all something different. So
was yours, Joe?
I really struggled. I don't know. I still don't know if I have an answer. I have a very natural ambition that kind of, if there's something I want to do, it's going to be really hard to stop me from getting there. And I kind of just have a natural thirst to get better. Mm. I don't know where that comes from or anything, but I assume that has to do with the humble confidence, because in order to get as good as I want to be, there's going to be a lot of falters, mm-hmm. there's going to be a lot of failing, and I know that's going to happen, but I tend to learn the most from when I fail. Mm. So That's the best I got.
I don't know if I have much better than you. I mean, I, so when I was an intern and I did like my first couple videos, or I think it was like, oh, it was the DC video that I did with Michael. Yes. And that was like, I don't know if you've seen it, Joe. Have you seen it?
So dramatic.
It's so dramatic.
Is it the map one?
Yes.
Okay, I love it.
That was so out. That is the project I did right before the summer ended. And that was my video where I was like, I need to like blow everyone's pants off with this video. And that's why it was so different than what, like, looking back now, I'm like, I wouldn't have done that right now just because I'm here. And like, but that was like, I need to do something crazy. But anyway, so there's been some projects where people are like, wow, like this was so good. Like literally so good. And I'm like, thanks. Like, I just, like, I believe them, but I didn't expect that. And I think, like, I'm always really excited to hear compliments and stuff, but I'm kind of always looking for, like, the next thing in a video that'll blow someone away, kind of. But at the same time, like, just, I mean, I watch YouTube a lot, and, like, I can see so many people that I, like, oh, man, that would be so cool if I was on their level, and, like, you know, this and that. But I just love to learn different things. You can't learn too many things when you're in the video industry, for sure.
I'm not avoiding answering this question, but Larissa, when you see like the hundreds of thousands of views on YouTube, does that kind of boost your confidence?
It does, and it kind of snaps me back into like a, like, don't forget, like, it makes me forget how many people there are on YouTube. It's like, during that, when, like, in producing a video like the Flutter video that we did, it's almost like you have to pretend like it's already going to do really well, because you want to make sure it looks good to everyone.
Yeah.
So in that video, like, I think it looked good. But if I were to know at the time that it was going to be seen by hundreds of thousands of people, there is a couple of things I might change. And so I think that really puts perspective on like the future videos and stuff that we do, or any project really. Is like, you never really realize who's gonna see it until they see it.
It should boost your confidence.
I remember,
you're amazing.
Thank you.
I remember going into the interview, and I'd watched basically the whole YouTube channel for like the past 2 years at least. And then as I get in there, you're like, oh yeah, we just had a video hit 100,000 views. I was like, wait, excuse me?
Yeah, it was the day you got here. Yeah. I remember it was the day of your interview. We were like, oh my gosh, we hit 100,000.
Oh,
like,
gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Very exciting. Okay, well, humble confidence. Yeah. Okay. So I think I naturally kind of have a position of humility. Mm-hmm. I've been saying, I like to be challenged. I like to grow, and I always know that I could do better. And so I think I have to work a lot harder on the confidence side of humble confidence.
Mm-hmm.
I take critique really well, all of that, you know, that's kind of there. But I find my confidence by working really hard.
Yeah.
Like, when I know I've put in the hours and I've done all of the thinking that I need to do, then I can feel confident about what I'm putting out there. So I just have to like have that time and just work crazy hard to get to that place where I feel good about something. So that's not always viable too when you're moving super fast.
Yeah.
So I'm learning right now how to just quickly find my confidence, and I don't really rely on other people's affirmation for it. So how do I find that within myself and know that I'm working my hardest and know I'm working my best even when something has to be turned out in the next day, you know?
Yeah.
So I struggle a little bit more with that confidence side of it, but the humility comes a little bit more naturally.
If you're at one of those early stages of, you know, making a design, and someone, is there ever a situation where someone's like, yeah, this is really good, and you're like, oh, but it could be better?
Literally always, Joe.
I'm like that all the time.
I never accept it's, and I'm having a hard time. Like, I need to learn how to accept compliments too, because I think when you're outside of somebody's specialty, it's easy to give a compliment.
I totally agree. Yeah.
And when you're inside of it, you're like, but no, like, the pixels are off, and like, these aren't aligned perfectly, and this isn't the right color, and all that. So you can get really nitpicky when you're with talking about something within your own expertise. But to me, like, what you guys work on, it is amazing all the time, even if you don't feel like it's perfect. So there is a place where you're kind of like, yes, I'm accepting that compliment from you, Mary, who doesn't know anything about videography.
How do you read my mind like that?
I know. So anyway, yeah, it definitely, I kind of struggle with like actually listening to compliments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree. There'll be times like before George watches any of my videos, because he reviews every one of them when I'm mm-hmm. sitting there, and we edit it together if it needs to be. But I'm like, I have the habit of like, okay, before this starts, I have to do this, and this. So just pretend like it's there. And like, he's like, I don't care. Just like push play. And I'm like, okay.
I think seeing work in progress, or sharing work in progress, yeah. has been probably one of the biggest challenges of coming out of school to work full time.
Yeah.
Because at school, nobody sees your work mm-hmm. in progress. Yep. I said that earlier. But yeah, it's a big struggle for me to give something to somebody when it's not fully baked. Mm-hmm. And I'm learning how to do it. But
yeah, we'll have to ask, because everyone here is in the creative field. So I'm interested to ask like Julie and Jocelyn if yeah. they go through the same thing when they're either making a blog post or, you know, Jocelyn making those account-based reports or mm-hmm. anything. Like if there's a moment she's like, no, it's not done. Don't look at it.
Yeah.
It's not ready yet.
Yeah.
I think with especially visually creative fields like what we are all yeah. in, you can endlessly iterate on something.
Absolutely.
And you can in every field, but especially visually, you can always perfect and always get better. And that's something I love about mm-hmm. design.
Yeah.
It's never finished.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting to me, but it's also really intimidating. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's hard to get to that place where you feel really confident.
Yeah. And you can just like let go of mm-hmm. it. Sometimes I'll find myself like looking through the backlog of videos we've done in the past, and I'm just like, I want to redo this one.
Do you get scared to push publish?
Sometimes it depends on the video.
Yeah.
But I'm yeah. always kind of like, yeah, I mean, sometimes it just depends.
Are you ever, for me, it's always like, I've been sitting with this thing so long, get it out of my face, hit publish.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. So, yes. Yeah. For sure.
I'm ready for the next one.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we move on to challenges, do you guys have any other advice you would give to someone who's in an internship right now? Maybe a multimedia intern. doesn't have to be at Crema, could just be an internship in general.
I think that intern, the actual word intern, that label is like a secret open door key, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. you can get into a lot of rooms using the word intern.
Yeah.
So you can sit in on meetings that nobody else can sit in on. You can ask really dumb questions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I just would use that to your fullest while you have that, because once you're a full-time employee, you're expected to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And when you're an intern, you're expected to learn. And so yeah. I think that's a really cool place to just learn
yep.
and ask and sit in on stuff.
Yeah, that's really smart. I've been watching Julie sit in on various meetings because mm-hmm. she's just trying to get a whole breadth of the company and where it's at and everywhere. And I've been like, man, once I get some time, I'm going to sit in on a sales call or something.
I've done that. Yeah, I did that when I was an intern. It was really
I think that was like one of my favorite parts of the internship because, I don't know, you're going to learn more from the stuff that you don't know
mm-hmm.
than the stuff that you kind of know from school that you're not great at. So,
yeah. I would say just like learn as much as you can. Like you said, ask it all the questions because... Mm-hmm. I mean, when you are an intern, it's expected that you're going to ask questions. And if you don't ask questions, I feel like it's more so like, I don't know, I feel like the people, like the higher ups or the people, your mentors or whatever, would probably be disappointed if you didn't ask a lot of questions
mm-hmm.
and just try to learn a lot. And you might just blend in with all the other interns. So I think like to stand out, just do things that are unexpected, but still like allowed. I don't know.
Relevant.
Yeah,
to
still
the
relevant.
Position.
Yeah. Yeah. Like take it out. Take the initiative to like learn something that maybe they didn't teach you, like do the research yourself and like different things like that. And just put your all into it.
This is a question I just had pop into my head. I don't know if it'll make the podcast, but as creatives, how do you guys find the line between your style and what you think Crema style is? Cause I know for me, the very first video I made, the Endless Sunday video,
mm-hmm.
I was like, this is how I'm going to test the limits. This is how I'm going to go pretty far, my style, and see if this goes with Crema or they're like, what is this? What'd you do? Like, so that's always something I'm trying to look for. How do you guys?
I feel like that line was, I feel like I still haven't found it because I just,
really?
Other than that DC video, yeah. like I didn't do anything that was so crazy.
Uh-huh. That DC video, when I watched it, I remember being like, is this the same person?
Yeah.
Did they get someone else for this
I
one?
No, it's me. Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Which is, yeah, it was just something like I wanted to do something like
kind of narrative sort of like.
Yeah, it was for lack of a better term, very cinematic.
Yeah, I wanted to practice that. And yeah. I think that was so encouraged. Like they kind of knew that and it was so fun because he was the star mm-hmm. of the video.
Yeah.
And I just remember like being so excited. I remember everyone was eating lunch HQ and you can ask CK because he was there, and I was sitting there and I was like just looking around, just like gazing at all the walls because I wanted to find my shots and everything.
Yep.
And I had my sketchbook. Yep. And I was like sketching out all the scenes and everything, and CK looks over, he's like, what are you doing? I was like, oh, just ignore me. I'm just like, yeah. There was one point where I was like up at the chandelier and I come down and I just kept doing this.
Oh, funny. Yep.
Standing yep. over them whenever they were sitting around eating lunch. But anyway, back to the question.
Do you remember going and buying the map with me?
Yes.
Yes.
I like went and bought a prop for this video. It was just so. I remember going
to. You're so into it. I love this.
I remember going to somebody and asking like, can I go buy this prop, like this map? And they're like, what for? And I was like, you'll see. And they just let me do it.
That's
and it's
awesome.
So I feel like in that aspect, like it's hard to find an answer for this question because like, I've been here so long and we've done so many different mm-hmm. things. And so I feel like as long as it fits in with like the Crema values and everything,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like Crema has so many different voices because there's so many people who are allowed to be part of the,
yeah.
it, you know, like we have our brand voice, you know, but then as well, it's like still a piece of everybody who works on yeah. it.
Well, it's gotta be extra difficult since for a time now you've been the only video person.
Yeah.
So you're probably your style probably is the Crema style since you've been setting that tone. Throughout, you still have to, you know, coincide yeah. with values but and the overall marketing plan.
Yeah.
But
yeah, and I still admire a lot of the work that Eric did because he did some of the video stuff before me. So like, I kind of used that as a guide as well, but I also made it my own. So sometimes I'll look back on some of the videos he did and I'll be like, oh, that's really cool. Like I want to incorporate mm-hmm. that into another video.
Mm-hmm.
But I agree. Yeah, it's definitely it kind of goes in stages. So it was like his style and now it's kind of my style and then it's your style, like, and you're bleeding into it.
Yeah.
Creatively.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, it's really fun. It's a lot of fun.
I think as a designer, I don't really struggle a lot with letting go of my style because I don't think it would fit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think I work so closely with the brand every single day, especially on our website.
Yeah.
That I know that it's not the right design decision to kind of influence Crema's style with mine.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really struggle a lot with it. I think there are really cool moments where like things I learned from school or very traditional proper things can be implemented, but it's never really like my kind of style interfering with Crema's brand voice.
Right.
I don't know if that makes sense.
I think it does because this in design is like design, especially for the website and Crema stuff is more concrete or almost, it's like almost already formed in known kind of
mm-hmm.
It's pretty systematic, like we don't really get a lot of open prompts here you can do anything with this,
right?
And if I did, it might be a little bit more of a struggle to kind of find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we don't really have a lot of that, especially in product design. So like working for clients, I'm working on apps that are for businesses to share with businesses.
Mm-hmm.
They're not really for the end user. I didn't have a digital product design style in school.
Yeah.
I still don't really have. I have stuff I admire from people, but uh-huh. You're working with a very specific target client, a very specific industry, usually one that I don't know very much about. So you kind of give up that hope to influence all of that work with your own vision. And I'm like, that's not sad at all. I feel really good about that. This is work, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I get to do the stuff that I love at home on the side.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of actually helps me distinctively separate the two, the creative for fun design and then the work design, which can also be super creative and super fun.
Yeah, because you've been able to do some like graphics for the videos and stuff like that. So it's not even just,
And I think it's finding those fun challenges too, like, I'm going to help Larissa with some animation.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily like, I'm going to do this totally like coffee branding project, you know, whatever, some like totally personal project, but it's a new challenge and it's a new thing I get to grow in and I can kind of inject some style a little bit.
But
I don't know if that kind of answers your question.
No,
I think you guys have a lot more of a blank canvas to work from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it's probably really challenging and there would be a noticeable voice change if it was like instantly some, you know,
right.
some totally different.
Well, I feel like directing. Even if you, Joe, were to take over, then it would still be a little bit different, which is totally fine. I think that's cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
I think having other people influence it helps us grow too.
For sure.
Time for challenges. We usually do some excitement or something.
Woo! Yay. Challenges.
That is way better than anything we've had before. It's usually we get like a woo
and
a yay, and that's it.
That's, I left my kazoo at home.
So last time I was on episode 3, my challenge was to find ways to better incorporate people's talents. Better find ways that I could change my own work style and workflow to better accommodate people's talents and to help get the best out of them.
Have you been reading Multipliers?
Right.
Made a video on it.
That's amazing.
I think the way I was able to kind of accomplish that was by having that day where I did 23 Crimin employees and shooting with all of them. And their wide range of comfortable, not comfortable in front of camera, into it, not into it, struggling, not struggling, and kind of being able to adapt as a director and help them get the best out of what we were trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So I'm pretty happy with how that turned out. And it was definitely a good way of learning, you know, what everyone brings to the table video wise.
Did anyone surprise you?
I guess I shouldn't have been surprised, but I didn't know anything about Nick's background. I just thought he was another dude here, but he came in like totally chill. He's like, oh, what do you want me to do? Oh, okay, yeah, that's fine. And then just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Like, that's awesome.
And then later I learned he had an acting background and stuff. Mm-hmm. But I was like, geez, I don't have to do anything. Like,
he can be the star in all of your future videos.
Right.
Yeah. I've already put him in the big jog video. He's gonna have a bigger role. Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So for you guys, our challenges are usually something that will help you make the most out of, for us, our internship. But what's a challenge you guys have for yourselves to help you make the most out of your jobs or your time here at Crema?
Well, I am going to, I don't know if this podcast will be up when I go, but I'm going to VidCon July 10th through the 14th.
I think it'll be out while you're still there.
Okay, well, if anybody's listening to this at VidCon, you might see me. But one of the challenges for me is to be, I love being behind the camera, but I really like to be in front of it as well. And I do my own, you know, videos on the side. But I would love to be more comfortable just with confidence in front of the camera. So I mean like vlogging in public, because I just think, I just love the way that video can tell a story. And it's like, you know, some people have scrapbooks, but I want to have like a bunch of videos about my life that I can watch in the future. So I think that'll be something that I want to do. And then I would love, if I get over that fear, to bring that into Crema, because George does some awesome vlogs. Mm-hmm. And I think he hasn't had a whole lot of time to do them recently, but I think vlogs are such a fun way to show Crema's culture. And I really loved whenever they used to put vlogs out, like way before my time. They were like once a week and it was so much fun. Yes. And I think everyone else liked it a lot too. So I would love to challenge myself to get used to that so that I can start bringing that into Crema and we can do some Crema vlogs. I think that'd be so fun.
The interns have been talking about to start vlogging.
That was my idea. Just kidding.
It probably was.
I wanted to live vicariously through you when you were vlogging. Like, vlog for me.
The only thing is, like, when we were talking about the vlogs, I was like, but how am I going to find interesting things to do, like, all the time? Like, it's like me at my desk again, editing.
Well, there was one vlog where there was a bug crawling around on the floor and George, like, went up and filmed
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
But it could even just, I don't know, like, it'd be cool to just have, like, a question every day that you, like, go around and ask people or something. Yeah. Or just, I don't know, walk. I mean, there's so much to do here. It's not, like, your typical internship. Yeah. Like, corporate.
It's not your regular office space.
Right.
Everyone's available.
Open to being interrupted too. Like, I loved when you guys came around with the cup video. Like, you probably got some really hilarious reactions.
Yes. Oh, yeah. The cup video. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. That was, like, the closest thing to a recent vlog that I've done here.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I like the spontaneity of a vlog.
Yeah, I think it catches people off guard. And then some people are really funny when they're caught off guard, too.
Yeah. I think my challenge, I don't know if this is, like, to help me get better as a full-time digital product designer, but I was thinking the other day, I have not opened any design programs on my personal laptop since I graduated.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And so I think that I would like to do a little personal project on the side, and kind of what we're talking about, like our different styles. I don't want my style to slip through the cracks and me to forget it because I'm so ingrained in Crema's style or working on product. So I think I want to do a little side project this week. Pull out the old Adobe Illustrator or something.
Yeah. Yes. I think that is relevant, you know, because you're still increasing your skill. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's still going to help you here at work.
Yeah.
I think my challenge after listening to you guys have a lovely conversation on this podcast. I think for me, I've got kind of 1, 2, 3, these next three sprints are each going to have their own big video that I'm kind of leading on. And I think I'm going to have to find some more confidence in myself and kind of do a few reality checks when maybe I'm in the middle of the process and I'm like, this is going to be terrible. George is going to fire me right now.
Hey, if you ever need a pep talk, Larissa and I can give a good pep talk.
Yeah, okay. I'll make sure. I'll be like, emergency podcast meeting. But just making sure that, like, just not... Everyone's got that voice in their head that's, you know, doubting yourself and just being like, no, we've done the work. I got all these storyboards on my desk for a reason.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to go shoot. You already planned out the shoot. We're good to go. Just keep going. Just keep going. And kind of keep that humble confidence going.
Yeah. This is kind of an aside, but when I first started working here as an intern, I was pretty shocked by the caliber of people who work here.
Yeah.
Like, there are incredible, smart, good people everywhere you turn. And so I think that as a vote of confidence for you, Joe, you made it on this team. And so, like, the people, powers that be, believe in you.
Right.
You're gonna do great.
Yeah, for sure.
We'll find out. So thank you guys for joining me today on this excellent episode. You guys are definitely top four guests we've had so far.
Are we? Have there only been four guests?
Maybe. just in case the listeners don't know, or you guys, we have an Instagram you can follow us on. We give updates. We give sound bites. We're going to start having more fun on there, so stay tuned for that. And we also have a Twitter. We like to link up and shout out with career centers and places like that, stuff like that. You can follow us on there. Both of those are Talking Intern, no spaces. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, y'all. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and give us 5 stars. The Talking Intern podcast is sponsored by Crema. Learn more about Crema at crema.us.